Ephesians chapter 2. I'd love to read chapter 1, but there's not time. The one introduces the subject, Paul, an apostle. But this is Ephesians chapter 2. And you has he quickened, who were dead in trespasses. And you he has quickened. In other words, made alive. So you're alive right now because of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus. And because of that blood he shed, you are now dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. That's all. It's just the blood. That blood covenant, in the Hebrew language, it's berit for the old covenant. In the New Testament, it's diatheke, which is a fully furnished and arranged act on God's part. So the Father gave you the law to make you desperate. You can't trust in yourself. It made you trust in God. But it didn't kill you. It just killed your flesh. It didn't kill you. It killed your flesh. So I want to clarify today that everything God has ever done is good. Amen. Everything he ever did was good. And giving people the freedom to not believe, he allows that. He allows that. But he will eliminate those that are fools, that have no faith that after you sin, there's still hope. After you sinned, there's still hope. So this is not written for non-sinners. This book is only written for sinners. And since about 100% of people are, then it does apply to everybody. So everybody, not just the people that look like they're sinners and who act like they're sinners, but this applies to everybody, even people that are religious. In fact, religion is our biggest problem, not wickedness. I'll say that again. Religion is our problem. God does not want you to be religious. He wants you to have the true religion, which is by faith. In other words, the true religion is faith in somebody else other than yourself and other people. People do not bring happiness. I'll say that again, because I want you to understand that. People do not bring happiness. You can converse with people all day long. It's not going to lead to happiness. So what you need to hear and read and hear it in your ear is this Bible. Amen. It talks about the blood. Otherwise, you wouldn't know about the blood. How could you know that a Jewish man, you know, several years ago did something that would last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? Never die. Never. World without end. In other words, the world that which is to come is everlasting. It never stops. And you'll be part of that. Why? Because you hear the word of God. So this makes me happy all the time. I'm always happy. That doesn't mean I have a smile. I'm just always happy. Because I'm happy inside that Jesus made a promise and he's keeping his promise. So I like promissory notes. This whole Bible is a promissory note. It's got past, present, and future in it. And so I'm justified, sanctified, and glorified. Amen. I don't worry about that because I didn't do anything in the first place to create myself. So I didn't get to be saved. Jesus did it all. He did it all. What he makes, he saves. Mm-hmm. Everybody? No. He's made that clear. If you're an unbeliever, you're going to perish. So you can pray for them. You don't have to even pray in their presence. You can pray for people over the seas. You can pray for Uganda. You can pray for anything you want. But your prayers make a difference. God sees them. Nobody else sees them. The prayer is something we do publicly and privately. But prayer makes a difference. And I know I would not be happy today except for the promise of Jesus, which is Old Testament, Brit, B-E-R-I-T-H, Brit. That is a covenant word. But that covenant in the New Testament is called diatheke. So that word is a testament because it's blood. We sang on the blood today. Oh, the blood of Jesus. The New Old Testament heard about the blood of Jesus, but it didn't make any sense except it was a lamb or a goat or a bull or whatever. But that wasn't the true blood that saves you. The law will never save anybody. The law will never save anybody. And all religions have laws except ours. All religions have laws except ours. Because we believe in Jesus keeping the law for me, loving my neighbor for me, doing everything he had to give me happiness and joy and peace and life everlasting. Amen. That's the blood. So how does blood make me white as snow? Blood is not white as snow. It turned black right away. As soon as it leaves your body, it doesn't look like blood anymore. It's only blood for a few minutes, and then it just turned black. So how then that black give me life? It did. Because it's not my blood. It's Jesus' blood. Because he came by promise. So he knew you were in trouble. And when you cry out to him, he answers. When you cry out to him, God, I'm a mess. I thought I'd be awesome, but I'm not. So don't have any faith in yourself. Have faith in God. All right. And you he has quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. How many know you used to be subject to trespasses? That means you step over the line. You go into your neighbor's yard, which you don't belong. You go out of the lane. You have to stay in your lane. You just have to be restricted by God. So the Old Testament laws make you, they don't make you anything. They don't make you any. They just reveal the fact that you can't keep the law. All they do is take away your confidence in yourself. So everybody is confident in themselves when they're little. And they think they can walk someday. They're looking, you know, we had our baby girl had the first birthday yesterday. And so she's looking around, you know, she's looking at all the other kids and so on. This one is 1 month and two months and so on and so forth. Over her or under her. So she saw some little ones and so on. But she was looking at them. She wasn't looking at the parents. She was looking at them. Oh, yeah. They're walking. Or they're talking.
Someone like her.
And yeah, I don't know why they notice that, but they do. Hey, you're my size. I should be walking. And if you have an older brother or sister, you right away want to walk. You realize, wow, I want to be like that. And so, because you're little like me. they don't know. But when you learn from others, don't learn from others. Learn from Jesus. The only thing is a daily reading of the Bible. Daily reading of the Bible. I read 2 books of the Bible this morning. I mean, I'm daily, always reading the Bible. And I look up every word. I know the Old Testament covenant is berit, B-E-R-I-T-H. And I know the New Testament, Greek, it says diatheke. So diatheke is not sunthike. It's different. But diatheke. And so this testament is a blood testament. That wasn't clear until Jesus came. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. In other words, I'm it. In other words, in the Bible, Jesus is the only issue in the Bible. So Jesus is the only issue. Old Testament, New Testament. It all says Jesus. Salvation. Jesus just means Yeshua, which is Hebrew for the Messiah. Jesus, the Savior, and the Lord, and your perfection. Chair 4, 5, and 6. And so now, you see, this thing says, you has he quickened who were dead. In other words, he can raise you from the dead. He can resurrect you from the dead. Oh, He already did that. He already did that 2,000 years ago. No. He did that 6,000 years ago. Now, a lot of you think the world is a billion years old or a million or whatever. Nah, it's just 6,000 years. So that puts me at loggerheads with the whole world, because I believe it's literal that 6,000 years ago, this world was nothing, and then it became something. And you're the reason he prepared it, so that you could then live a holy, righteous, loving your neighbor life from now on. So I'm not bothered by bad people sinning. I don't have to sin because they sin. I can choose. I can choose to live a holy life if I want to. But I do it by faith. I don't do it by sight. I do it by faith. I don't have to see it. I just have to read the Bible. Okay, faith cometh by hearing. All I have to do is hear this Bible. So I read it out loud to myself or I sing it. So I want to hear it. I don't want to just read it. I want to hear it. But you know what I hear? Is God loves me just as I am. Just as I am without one plea. So my plea is this. Lord, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Because I don't have any confidence in myself. But I have confidence in you. You keep your word. You're faithful. And now we can be faithful because he's faithful. So we actually can give our word, and our word is our bond. Our word is a promise that, you know, we're going to do everything in our power, the power of Jesus in us. We're going to do everything in our power to keep our word. So, till death does do part, that's what marriage is all about. And so, you know, David will never leave you, Janet, ever. He can't. He's under, he gave his word. I do. Or I will. And so he messed his life wholly. Then he can't ever complain because he gave his word. And so you can just be yourself. Women have the easy deal. And the woman always represents the church, even if she's a whore. She represents the church, a bad whore, or the truth, right? But we're the bride. You're not the whore. And Jesus will reject whores. In other words, he'll judge them. But you can pray for them. Yeah, you can pray for them. Let the church be not lukewarm, let it be hot. Did you know that God wants the church to be hot? His church. Let judgment begin in the household of God. So he wants the church to be hot. But hot makes the other two, cold and lukewarm, hot. I mean, we're so hot that they need us. They need, the Buddhists need us. The Hindus need us. The Jehovah Witnesses, they all need us. Everyone. Because they're all wrong. How can you say that, Pastor? I read it in the book. I read it in this book. And so I know they're all wrong because they're trying to do a good work. They're trying to please God. If you work first, God won't. If you work first, God won't. So if you're the starter, then you think you're God. Because you acted first, now he has to respond. No, the opposite. God is acting first and second and third and 15th and a bazillionth. He does all the acts on this world. He chose you to be born. Now that you've messed up, he chose you to be dead in your sins. Now he quickens you by his resurrection. So you have hope. There's always hope. And be prepared when anyone talks to you, you say Jesus. Don't tell them about your testimony, your story. Tell them about Jesus. Because they're not going to grow by you. They're not going to grow by, you know, a nice my friend. Not like that. There's just him. There's not it. So I don't believe in the law. I believe in the gospel, which is him. My gospel is in him. You see that word him? It's throughout the whole Bible, Old Testament or New Testament. The him is always Jesus. The him is always Jesus. And Jesus is the Son of God. So God is reconciling the world to himself, the world to himself, through Jesus. Through Jesus. And he's doing it through his Son, because the Son always does what's pleasing to the Father. So how many here are sons? And so if you're a son, you do want to be like your heavenly Father. You want to be like your heavenly Father. Now, you can't do anything to make that happen. Jesus already did it. He already did it. He already did it. So if you read the gospel, the good news, gospel means good news, euangelion. It means good news. So if you read the gospel, you're happy all the time. Because the gospel is always for you. You're the apple of God's eye. The reason he created you was to bless you, and so that you'd be happy all the time. Are you happy all the time?
Yes.
All the time?
Yes.
Yeah. Why? Because he's got all the bases covered. I don't care what base you're on, you're going to make it home. Because he made a promise and he can't lie. I can lie, but he can't. I can lie, and he'll forgive all my lies. And I have, but he forgave them all. So when he died, he quickened me. And his resurrection was mine. Because my death was his. And so he took my death and gave me the life. I like Jesus. I love that. I love Jesus, that he sees my sins, my faults, my iniquities, and then he forgives them all. Just like that. And he didn't even ask my permission. He didn't even say, Jim, can I do this for you? He just did it. Right on his own. That's powerful. How many know that Jesus is the only good God in the world because he's the only God? There isn't any other. The others want you to work first. They want you to make the first move. Never make the first move. Let God make the first move, and the second, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth. So he will justify, sanctify, glorify himself in you, because you're the apple of his eye. And so Jesus came to show you how he and the Father have a love relationship. He wasn't revealing himself, because he was Son of Man. He was actually revealing the Father, and he had faith that the Father would keep him. Do you have faith that the Father will keep you? Not only give you resurrection life, but keep it all the way until you're resurrected. You're not resurrected just because you have a new heart. You just begun it. It's a process. But you have to be justified, then sanctified, then glorified. And then you will be a bride without spot, without wrinkle, without any blemish or stain or anything negative. You'll have nothing unclean in you. But Jesus promised that. That's a promise. So, the next verse, wherein, in your past, when you were trespassing, dead in your trespasses and sins, wherein, in time past, it's already gone, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, Satan, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. So who is the father of all religions of the world who don't have a relationship to Jesus? Who is the father? The devil. And Jesus said to the Jewish people, if you don't understand the Jewish people, they messed everything up because they're lukewarm. They say they're believers in God, but they're fools. But a few of them, not. Like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jesus, all kinds of people. So now we're following people because Moses said, don't listen to me. He didn't say that, but that's what he's saying. Don't listen to me. These laws are not for you. They're for Jesus to keep for you. All the laws I'm going to give you, you can't keep them. You'll never be able to keep any law that God has ever given because you're not under a law. You're under grace. Didn't you name your daughter Grace? Mm-hmm. That was a good one. So grace through faith is what saves everybody. Right? Names mean a lot. Names mean a lot. And so I was born a cheater. And I was always. I enjoyed it. I loved it. It's some people don't love their sins. They feel guilty. Not me. I loved it. I was enjoying myself. And I didn't want to be a Christian because I didn't want to be a hypocrite and say I believed in something that I didn't. So I never became a Christian until God mowed me down, reduced me to nothing. And all of a sudden then I believed in Jesus. And I didn't have nothing to do with that. It was all Jesus. He acted first. I didn't even react. I just didn't understand it. How can you love me? I'm no good. I've always been no good. I intend to be no good forever. Unless you want to marry me. And he said, yeah, I want to marry you. If I join your team will go down. You don't want me on your team. You don't understand. You don't want me. I'll ruin everything. Everything. I'll just poop on it. I'll just do it. Anything you give me that's clean, I'll poop on it. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm speaking humanly. Meaning, I can make anything bad. I'm capable of doing that. But Jesus said, no, I love you. I want to marry you. Well, you can't. Don't do that. I'll ruin the whole team. Just leave me alone. Just don't mess with me. I'm wanting to sin and I'm enjoying it. Well, then Jesus said, no, I'm going to change you. I'm everything you're looking for. I laughed. I literally laughed. That's not true, and I don't even believe you exist. I don't even believe there is a God. And but anyway, I became a Christian because one day I became a Christian because I just heard the Bible. I didn't hear it to become a Christian. I just read it because I was a pastor. I knew I was a pastor, so I knew you have to fake it. You have to. And every week, David doesn't know this. Nobody knew it. Every week I'd be at the altar and I'd be at the altar. God, you know, I don't believe in you. But don't embarrass me if you are there. Don't embarrass me because I don't care that I have a good sermon. I just don't want to be embarrassed. So help me to make it through this week. And I promise next week I'll read the Bible and I'll pray. But the next week I forgot again. And so then again, I get the same prayer year after year. That's a bad pastor. That's a very bad pastor. But nobody knew it because I was a liar and a thief and a deceiver and a trickster and, you know, con artist and so on and so forth. And I was always looking out for number one, me. I didn't want God to be God. I wanted to be God. And if there were a God, I'd talk to him. But there wasn't. He didn't come in a whirlwind. But later, when he met me, I fell in love with Jesus. Now, listen to this. Wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit which now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, that means behavior, our conversation in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, that was me, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as all the others. That was me. I had no apology for it. And I've never done anything to cooperate with Jesus. Never. 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 All I did is read the Word. But the Word has power in it, and it transformed me, and now I'm a Christian. And I love Jesus with all my heart and soul and strength. I love my wife. I love you all. I love everybody. Now, who did that? I didn't. I didn't do it. God just gave it to me because I was, you know, I was a bad person. And I'm not ashamed of that. That's what I was, just like it says in the Bible. You were. Everybody was. Paul was. Everybody was. Only Jesus wasn't. And so him is more important than it. The law is an it. The law. But you're not under a law. You're under grace. Because it is the only way that through grace, through faith, you now become an eternal being forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. World without end. So I don't have any beginning and I don't have any ending. Now that I'm here, I have no beginning and no ending because I was actually created in God. Did you know that? I'm a gift of heaven. You all know that? It's not obvious, but did you know that? It says so in the Bible, that I'm a gift of God. Why? Because I'm doing what you're supposed to do, and I never grew up thinking that. Somebody say, are you a Christian? I wouldn't say what I was. I wouldn't even answer that question, because he was irrelevant to me. But I knew I'm all I have. Everything begins with me and ends with me. So if I go to hell, too bad. Doesn't bother me a bit, because I'm going to live like hell all the way to hell. I'm going to do it. Has anybody else been like me? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. Because everybody is actually like me. Everybody is. I don't care how religious you think you are. God does not, in his eyes, you are not religious. You have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus has to be the one that says, will you marry me? He's from the outside, outer space. He comes and says, I want to marry you. Will you marry me? And no. No. But one day I said yes. And that was the end of it. I then became a saint. And named me a saint. Do you know that in the Bible it never says to the sinners at Rome? It always says they're saints. But you're saint by faith, not by works. Saint, but I have faith in Jesus who died for me. I have faith in Jesus who rose for me. I have faith in Jesus that I was buried with him. I have faith in Jesus that he'll give me blessing every single day. He daily loads us with blessings every day. Could you all say amen?
Amen.
Every day. I mean, blessings mean truckloads of them. I mean, loads, plural. And you don't even see 99% of them. You're looking over here and he's over here. Yeah. And so you don't even know that you're blessed. To be alive today is a miracle.
Yes.
Praise God. So all I'm doing is plagiarizing from the Bible.
Yes.
I just read what it says and then repeat it. I'm not adding anything to it. I mean, I may add jokes and stuff, but it's not Jesus. When I'm joking, that's nothing. But when I'm reading you the Bible, and that's why I want to read just the Bible, because I read it every day. I was up, you know, early, and reading a couple of books, not just chapters, books. And I read them all the way through, Deuteronomy. And I also read Ephesians, which I'm preaching with now. But I also read John. And I love reading this Bible, because it's the only good news. America was founded on the Bible. I don't care what anyone says to you. It's not founded by deists. It's not founded by, you know, people that are doubtful and so on and so forth. I mean, Jefferson didn't believe in the Bible like I did. He didn't believe there were Bibles. And, you know, so he made a Bible this thick because he erased all the miracles and signs and wonders and so on. It's okay. It's not a big deal. But, you know, he was a blessing. I'm blessed by wicked people. How many know that if you're only blessed by righteous people, you'd have to be a monk or a nun? I mean, I'm not. I'm blessed by wicked people because there's a lot of them. And I have a kinship with people like that because I used to be like that, but that's in the past. Now, Jesus changed my future by changing my present. And so now I'm filled with the Spirit every day. And I'm led of the Spirit every day because I was born of the Spirit every day. And so since you're born and you have a new heart, now he wants you to have a new soul so you can love with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength, all your mind. He wants to change your mind every day. So I don't listen to the devil. I mean, he's talking to me all the time. You're a mess. You're stupid. You don't know anything. You know, he's trying to talk to me and discourage me. Boo! Just say boo to him. Because I'm not at all thinking he's God. I know he's just a creature. And someday we're going to see him. And he'll be just this tall.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible.
Yeah.
It's in the Bible. And so, is this the man that made the world to tremble? This little guy? You just step on him. And so it's amazing that the devil can do so much and he's invisible. You don't even see him, but you see his works all the time. So the next verse, it says this. And we're by nature children of wrath, verse 3, even as all the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, chesed, mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Do you think God, you think anyone else is in the earth or in heaven that loves you? No. There's no one else. There's only God. Not only is he the only lover, there's no one else that's good except this one. There's no one else that's kind. So do you think he'll win or lose? Win is that the wicked, they'll be gone. It'll eliminate them forever and ever and ever and ever. Is it the same like us? We're going to live forever as righteous. They're going to live forever as wicked. And so no one is going to listen to them. And God has them in a lake of fire. And it's right before his throne. Right after the throne is a lake. And we see it as crystal. So it's beautiful. But they are underneath there. And they don't ever get up. But God can see them right there. They're agonizing. But God is so happy that the wicked are gone. Because before you get married, you want to make sure the neighborhood is cleaned up. So Peggy every once in a while said, "Why do we live here?" This is where the light must shine. Well, what are you doing about it? I don't do stuff. I let Jesus do stuff. Jesus does everything in my life. And I'm so blessed beyond measure. Unbelievable. Everything that I bump into is an occasion for me to witness and give them the good news and so on. I'm not at all apologetic about. And they'll say something. People will just say something in their first sentence. In the first sentence they get out, you exactly can see they have a frown on their face or whatever. And I got something to say. "Hey, you look like you're frowning. You know, so let me tell you the good news. Let me tell you my story." And so you can witness to anybody anywhere because the harvest is ripe. So it's the laborers that are few. You have the ripe harvest, but there's no one there to harvest it. So pray to the Lord of the harvest, and he'll send out laborers. He'll send out laborers in the harvest, right? Alex, you're one, a laborer. And you believe that? I believe that. And so that's powerful. And Raul, you're part of the harvest. You're a tool. Get yourself sharpened up, because you're about to cut down the wicked. How many know America's divided? I mean, almost even. I mean, I don't really know the numbers. I don't care about them, because I don't pay attention to people. I don't read the news, and I don't. I'm not interested in that. I'm only interested in one thing: this Bible. This Bible. This is all I need. But I've memorized it in the Hebrew and in the Greek. And then you also have to read in Latin if you want to understand church history and see where it went wrong and how to make it right. And so God has been faithful in every generation to have someone that believes in Jesus Christ. Someone. Old Testament, New Testament. There's never been a generation without a witness. So Jesus said, you're one of my witnesses. So witness what you know and see. So you know things without knowing things. You don't even see them. In other words, hearing is more important than acting. I'll say it again. Hearing is more important. You don't get the faith except by hearing. Not understanding, not wanting it, not feeling it. Nothing like that. Not doing it. As nothing. You don't do acts. You don't do anything. The book of Acts is actually the book of God's acts. In his apostles. In his people. So God is acting in all of us. You're all witnesses. You're all people that witness to Jesus just by smiling. I mean, a lot of people have a frown on their face. I mean, in the whole world, you can go to the third world and people are sad. But you can make them happy in 2 seconds, right? By smiling. "Hi, how are you?" If you go to Russia, everyone, they don't want to get into anyone else's business, so they put their face down or read a paper or something. And there'll be 18 people on a little van. And that's how many squeeze in there. You just squeeze one on a lap on another and so on and so forth. They're all squeezed in there, and no one is smiling. So when I get into the mashrutkas, I get in there and say, "Hi, how are you? I'm Jim." And they hate it. They don't even want to look at you. They want to look at you. And if they just stomp on people on the way out. They don't care if it's a child, what it is. They're not going to get involved, so they just keep moving. Do you understand what I'm saying? This world is grim. This world is not happy. Now, in America, we're spoiled. But look what spoiling leads to. All the wickedness. When you're blessed, it's better to be poor. It's better to be, you know, trampled on. Because in this world, you become proud. Thank God we have this size of house, or we have this side of bank account, or we can do anything we want. Okay. Americans turned away from the Constitution right away. All they wanted to do is make money. All they wanted to do is worship mammon. So I don't worship mammon. I'm not interested in mammon. But I can be righteous with mammon. When you are, and I know many of you are, when you're righteous with mammon, God counts that. He likes that. So that you didn't use it as filthy lucre. You used it as a stewardship of something God gave to me, and I gave out of my abundance. If you don't have an abundance, don't do it. You don't have to do it. But God has given you a talent. God has given you time. God has given you all kinds of things. So I wish all of Dallas were here, literally, because they need to hear this good news. I'm going to read on. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. Woo! Yes. By grace you are saved. Hanan, C-H-A-N-N-A-N in the Old Testament. By grace you are saved. Wow. And grace just simply means favor. You've been favored. Remember he said to Mary, you are favored. God favors you. Was that her act? Did she do something nice that he did that? No. It had nothing to do with her acts. It had to do with God acting toward her. He can favor anybody at any time. And he already has. He already has. He daily loads us with blessings. Every day. 68 verse 19. Psalm. Now, so God is blessing us so that you can be a good steward. Not stingy. Not always wanting everything for yourself. Getting the latest this and that and so on and so forth. This world is not my home. I'm not at home here. But as long as I'm here, I'll witness. I'll tell about Jesus. Why? So they kill me. So what? You have to be willing to die for this faith. Otherwise, you can't live for this faith. If you're not willing to die, you cannot then go around the world and meet people. Because people hate you. If you live a godly life, people hate you. They'll persecute you. They'll despise you. They'll argue with you. They'll be mean at you. Just because you have good news. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that exciting? It's good to be hated. It's good to be ugly. You probably didn't hear what I said. Just relax and be yourself. Let Jesus fix you up. He's a fixer-upper. He can fix you overnight. In a blink. A blinking of the eye, just like that. Boom. You have your new body, your new soul, your new heart, your new everything. It is when he comes back. That's going to happen in a few years. Not now, but like 1,000 years, and so on and so forth. So you're already in the 7th generation of millenniums. So there's only 7 days. The day with the Lord is, you know, 1,000 days. The day, when he calls a day, that's 1,000 years. So if 1,000 years go by, that's a big time. Most of us don't live to be 1,000. But Methuselah almost made it. He was just 30-some years short. He almost got there. And even Adam, he lived 930 years, but he was 70 years away. But Methuselah, he lived the day that the earth was flooded. The day that they were burying him, he was the last one in a grave. He was buried, and immediately God said, okay, I'm going to rain. They felt the rain. Hey, we better get on the boat. And so they got on that boat. Only eight made it. Eight is the number of the church. Because we're born on the eighth day. The seventh day is holy to the Jewish people. But you cannot be made. Nothing can be made under a law that will be perfect. But under the gospel, everything is perfect. You're perfect, just the way you are. You don't have to do anything. Let God do everything. Isn't God a doer? Isn't he the one that empowers everything? And this word has all his power. When you get this, you have capacity to love your neighbor as yourself. You have the capacity to love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. You have your capacity to do anything God wants you to do. So don't underestimate yourself. You are powerful. Say it, I'm a king. And you're also a queen. You know, and you're also a child of God. And, you know, you're also the light of the world. And you're all the salt of the earth. And you're the dwelling place of the living God. That's who you are. And you're an overcomer and so on and so forth. So the Bible makes you say, I am. Because of what Jesus said. And so you can do anything that Jesus did as long as he tells you. And if he says, don't talk, don't. Sometimes we talk too much. Does anybody here talk too much? One. If you talk too much, that's okay. God loves you anyway. But he puts you in the talk too much than heaven. You'll entertain each other. No, he doesn't care. He doesn't care what you do. He loves everybody, everybody, everybody. There's not a person on earth that he doesn't love. M13 or whatever it is. He loves everybody. He doesn't love them, though, because of what they did. He hates sin and iniquity. But he loves the person who did the hating, who did what was wrong. If he didn't, you wouldn't have any hope. Because all have sinned. All have sinned. All means all. How many are excluded from all? Nobody. So if all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, you need to find out what that glory was. Because it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. God has given you eternal life. You got the prize right away. You got a new heart. And that new heart is a foundation for sanctification, which is then for perfection in love, and faith and hope are gone. So, everything is for you. Say it, I'm beloved of God. I'm blessed by God. God benefits me every day. That's you. And you need to say that, put that on your mirror or something like that. Put that on the mirror and say, you are awesome, you know, something like that. I mean, just make it up. Because that's who you are. You're awesome. Do you have that on your mirror? Yeah, put that lipstick right on there. I'm awesome. Now, you're awesome only because Jesus Christ, who you got married to because he asked you to marry him, and you said, yes, I do. I will. And because of that, now you're blessed. And let's say you miss out on a billion things. It doesn't matter. You got Jesus. With Jesus, he freely gives you everything. You got Jesus, you got everything. You don't have to even think about it. Everything is yours as a gift of God. It's a promise that God made. He cannot lie. Next verse. Even when, 5, we were dead in sins, you used to be, all of us, hath quickened us together with Christ. When he rose, you rose. You're quickened. You're made alive. You're alive right now. Amen. You don't just have existence. Hallelujah. You have eternal life. You're not just bios. You actually have zoe, which means eternal life, everlasting life. Wow. Woo! That's worth shouting about.
Amen.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
That's too powerful. Why would he do that? I used to be a sinner. Why would he loves sinners. Oh, if he could just find a sinner. He's just looking for one that he could just love and love him to death.
Hallelujah.
Love him to death. Did you see? Love him to death. Yeah. So when you die to this world, then you're alive to God in Christ Jesus. If you're a friend of this world, you're an enemy with God. If you're a friend with God, you're an enemy to the world. That's very clear in the Bible. So if you love this world, you're going to be duped. You're going to be painful. You're going to be rejected. Because God doesn't want you to love the world. It's an it. It's an it. It's nothing. It's him. The only thing in your life is Jesus Christ. Him. The one that asked me to marry him. And the Father sent him to earth to find his bride. And he realized his bride had been whorish. His bride had been, you know, not so good. And so he said, yeah, will you marry me? Then he just says that. He does that because he knows he has all the life in himself and he wants to give his life to you. All his wealth, everything he has in heaven, it's yours. Now, can you live by that promise?
Yes.
If it's yours, then it's yours. And no one can take it away because once God, he's not an Indian giver. You know, here's the land, and then we take it back because they have oil or they have, you know, trees or whatever they have. And so the Indians realized that white man speaks with a forked tongue because he said it was mine, and then he took it away when he found we had oil and gas and so on and so forth. And so the Indians today never did catch on that you don't want to be an Indian, you want to be a Christian. Do you understand what I'm saying? So they weren't noble people. They fought each other and they fought everybody. And so everybody has sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Right? Next verse. 6. And he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you already there or are you thinking you'll be there in the future? You're already there by faith. But later, when he comes back, second he comes back, that's right after the Jacob's trouble, 1260 days, right after that. And that could be tomorrow. Could be. We're very close. I'm telling you, looking around at the world today, we're close to Jesus coming back. Hey, Jesus, I don't like this world. It is not good. I don't know if I should even have a child. I don't know if we should bring anyone into this world. And so a lot of people are scared of even having a child. Because what's that going to happen to that child? So why would you want to bring a person into a situation like that? So they're wrong because you can go ahead and have children. There's nothing wrong with having children. So they're wrong. Don't ever, ever doubt God. He's looking. What is man that thou art mindful of him? His mind is always full. Mind full. His mind is always not thinking about himself. His mind is always on you. And he's thinking of every individual. Now, you and I can't do that. We can't love everybody. We can only love a few people at a time. But God, he can think of everybody, and he's totally knowledgeable of every hair on your head. He's knowledgeable of everything you have and are and so on and so forth. And he loves you. I'm taking that. That sounds good to me. Because otherwise, I'd just be an earth dweller. Now I'm a heaven dweller. Next verse. That in the ages to come, hasn't come yet, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, okay, favor, in his kindness toward us, loving kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. So he's the only one. There's no one else in the world. There's no one else in the world like Jesus. He comes from heaven, and he's the only one. He's the only one. So the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in heaven decided Jesus should go to earth because he always does what's pleasing to the Father. And where is the Father? The whole body of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all dwelt in Jesus. They were all right there. So Jesus has never left the earth. He created it. Jesus created it. Holy Spirit was there to brood. Everyone was there, all doing a different function for the same reason, to bless mankind. So God loves everybody in the world. So I can walk up to M13 or whatever and say, I love you with all my heart and soul and strength. You don't love me, but it's not a problem because I'm putting all my faith in Jesus. So they kill me. So what? I'm not worried about that. God will just resurrect me. Boop. Just pop back up. Jesus popped back up. I'll pop. I'll just boop. You know, you can knock me down. I'll just be right up. And I'm going to pray for our glory. Thank you. And all you can do is thank you. And did you know people actually do that today? There are Christians today that are not only willing to witness Jesus, but they're willing to die for Jesus. Now, physical death is not what God's after. He's not after physical death. The first thing is psychological death. You don't rule yourself. God controls everything and everyone. And you don't rule yourself. So he's rigged the world on your behalf. He's rigged it all up so that we always win. Do you believe that?
Yes.
I do.
Yes.
Everything is on your side. There's nothing against you. Against such there is no law. So, there's no law against me loving you. There's no law against me being kind to you. There's no law against me favoring you. There's no law against me giving you all my money. I can do anything I want. But I want to make sure it's God. So I read the Bible. And the Holy Spirit, who lives in me, he directs me and says, do this right now. Is it foolish? Don't worry about that. You do foolish things all the time, so don't even worry about which one is and isn't. Just leave that to God. But he winks at your sin. He just winks at it. He doesn't care that you sinned. What he cares is, after you sin, do you believe that I'm a forgiving Father, like I promised in my word?
Yeah.
And when you read that, you can laugh at the devil. You can laugh at anything that's against you and say, no, this is not a problem. Jesus Christ loves me just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea. You don't need any pleas. You don't need to do anything because God is pleased with you.
Amen.
God is always pleased with you. He's never ever said, I don't like that guy. No, he can't say that. He can say, I don't like their deeds. So he hates iniquities, deeds, sins, trespasses. So when you trespass against someone, there's a line, and you went over the line. Now you're in my yard rather than in your yard. Hey, this is my yard. Get out. Get over there. And, you know, you can trespass. Trespass means you stepped over the line. Well, what is the line? That's missing the mark. Who is the mark? The law? No. God never loved anyone through the law because it's not perfect. That's 7:12 Hebrews. You can read that. Since he never did that, nothing is made perfect by a law, because the law forces. There is no law if you don't force it. There is no law if you don't force it. So as a teacher, you have to teach children and to say, no, you sit down right now, or you go into the office, you know, whatever. There has to be consequences. But we're under a gospel. And so it's your love that attracts people. Your love. When they see your love, they want love. Everybody wants love. Everyone wants to be somebody in your sight, in God's sight. Well, God's happy with everybody. He's never been unhappy with anybody. So what saved me? The word. Just this word. Sola Scriptura. This word saved me years ago, and I've never been the same since. I'm in love with Jesus now. And he did it. And I didn't do anything to help him. I wasn't cooperating with him. I wasn't, you know, co-working, co-redempting. I didn't do anything. I just said what he said to say, and I said what he said to say, and I did what he said to did. So what did I did? Well, I did whatever he said. And that's all there is to it. For by grace are you saved. I love this verse. For by grace are you saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. Did you see that? This grace, God is a gracious God toward you because he's favoring you for no reason at all. He doesn't have any reason because you did something. No, he's not doing it because you did something. He's doing it because you didn't do that. It's not of yourself. You didn't do that. God acted first, second, third, fourth, fifth, gazillionth. God always acts, always on your behalf. Wow, doesn't that give you peace? It does me. It gives me peace that no matter what I do, he'll forgive the sins. He already died for them 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago. He already died. He already eliminated all sin. Sin is not your problem now. Your problem is not sinning. Your problem is not believing that Jesus Christ, after you sin, forgave you. And not only does he forgive you, he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And not only will he cleanse you from all unrighteousness, he'll perfect you in love. And not only that, you're going to marry Jesus. You're going to have an eternal hat on your head, and it will not fade. Everything God does in heaven never fades. It never grows old. But everything on earth will grow old. It'll perish. And then you'll have a new heaven and a new earth better than this one. Everything about God is good, 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 good. Everything about God is mercy, mercy, mercy. Everything about God is grace, grace, grace. Everything about God is kindness, kindness, kindness. And all those fruits of the Spirit are on earth. They did not come from anyone on earth. No, there is no justice in this world, and there's no peace in this world. That's why people don't like each other. They don't even like themselves. Did you know people who don't like you don't like themselves? People that harass you and kill you and chop the sword and so on. So what? They don't like themselves. So all you got to say is, well, I love you just the way you are. I don't want you to be a Christian or anything else. I want you to do nothing and let God love you because he already does. Boom, chop your head off. Good. You go home early. Oh, thanks. So I'm not really worried. Aren't you like me? Is anyone here like me?
Is anybody here like me a little bit?
Yeah, you have to be that. Well, that word will ruin you. Don't read this word if you don't want to be ruined, because it'll ruin you for this world. It'll prepare you for the next world. So this word is telling you what God has already done for you before the foundation of the world. And you're going to walk in his works that he prepared before the foundation of the world. Now you can walk in them. And at any time, he goofed up a little bit, all forgiven. Next verse. For we are his workmanships. There's nothing that you worked. Because if you worked, you'd be proud. You'd be proud. If you worked, you'd say, God, pay me a wage. I just did what you wanted. All religions say that. Lies. Total lies. Total deception. You didn't do anything for God. God did everything for you. If you don't get that, you're not good at anything. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so since you can do nothing, the only thing you can have is a relationship where the guy from outer space comes in and says, I want to marry you. And he has all the power and all the glory and all everything. And he can make new heavens and new earth just like that. Boom, just like that. And the minute he comes back, you already, while the wicked are still here, you already are in heaven. The minute he comes back, the second, the nanosecond that he comes back, boom, you have the new body, new soul, new heart, new everything. Wow. And you actually feel then what you now only say by faith. But you'll actually feel love for people. You'll actually understand all mysteries. There'll be no hidden secrets. God will reveal that to you right away. Because you're now like Jesus. And you have the same knowledge he had. And you will not only that, you will be like God in everything you think and say and do. And you'll realize, wow, anybody could have had this. But I pray that all those people that are on the earth, I'm going to pray for them. Because they're in trouble. You can intercede in heaven. You'll be intercessors in heaven. But you could start today, just by faith. You don't have to see it. So suffering is seeing heaven and not seeing heaven. Suffering is seeing heaven, but not seeing heaven on earth. Okay, so I'm looking at all the bad people. I'm looking for all the wicked people like I used to be. I'm looking at all of them and saying, this person is bad. But God says, no, don't look at them, look through them. Realizing this one is for whom the blood was shed on Calvary. This one. And therefore you can witness to them because they realize and they'll know. They'll know if you love them just as they are, they can sense it in your being. Just the way you act and react and so on. They can sense it. But if you love them and always say Jesus. Why? Because they say, well, thank you for doing that. You can say, it wasn't me, it was Jesus. And then they want to kill you. Good. That's a sure sign they heard. No, that's a sure sign. Because they actually heard what you said and Jesus, because they're not going to be saved without Jesus. You cannot be saved. Well, I was kind to them. Kindness doesn't set people free. You're being kind, you're loving them, doesn't set them free. A lot of people today think, if you just love people, just if you love people, people will love it. They don't. They only love it for a few seconds, and then they're off to, you know, making money or doing whatever else. No. But truth will set them free. And the truth will set you free forever and ever and ever and ever. So truth is what sets you free. So what is the truth? The truth is that love won't set you free. Jesus could love you, but that's not going to do it. He needs to actually say, you have to believe in me. And that he did. He said that. Unless you believe in me, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have no part in me. He wasn't doing that to scare them. He was doing that to say the truth, which set them free. Because when Jesus says to you, you're no good, I agreed with him. When Jesus said to me, I love you, I could read it in the book, just head knowledge. I could read it in the book, but it didn't touch my heart. But one day it touched my heart. I didn't know how that came about, but it happened. And ever since then, I've been in love with Jesus. I think David were right about that time, you were in confirmation. And we have a 2-year confirmation. So they had every week, they had to meet together, and there's a dozen of them or something like that. And they still remember what I taught them way back then. And we were reading Cross and the Split Blade and all that kind of stuff and the Bible. We just read it all. So they learned the creed and they were in the Lord's Prayer and so on and so forth. And so on. It's good, but it lasts a lifetime. People still come up to me for all those years. Been here 50 years in just Texas. They say, well, I remember when you said something or other. I can't remember it all. You remember when you said, no, not really. Whatever I said, praise God. That was a miracle that you got a hold of that. So a miracle has happened to you. To you. To you. To you. Why? Because you hear the words of God. You don't hear, you know, Jim's agenda. I don't have an agenda. Jesus. That's all. And that'll make your marriage work. Right? That'll be powerful. Because now you learn, hey, I don't have to think about anything. Jesus does my thinking. He wrote it all down. And I can just read this thing and see exactly how he's thinking. He didn't miss one word in here that isn't on your side. For we are his workmanship, God's. We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Okay, now you have good works. How do you get those good works? The good works you didn't do. Every good work you did was not done by you. It was done by Jesus. So you can't say, I did a good work today. And many people do. They think doing anything is a good work because they thought it was good. What you think doesn't matter at all. So who was blind, this man or his parents? Did he sin or did they sin? Somebody must have sinned. That's not the issue at all. It's for the glory of God to be revealed and manifested. And he put some mud on his eye and he healed his eye. And this is John, the 9th chapter. And he went to a pool called Sent. Okay, Shalom. So sent, because Jesus was sent on the earth to give you good news. And now, this guy was blind from birth, and nobody ever in the world was blind from birth, and then someone healed him. This is, only Jesus did this. And he said, I want you to go to the pool and wash your eyes out. That's me cleansing you, and your eyes will be able to see, just like anybody else. Wow. And he said to him, you're lying. Who was that guy that did that? He broke the Sabbath. It's a Sabbath. You can only walk 2,000 steps today. And I think you've done more than that. Because he went into the temple and was walking around. And people, what are you doing? It's Sabbath day. You've been walking around here and more than 2,000 steps. Well, the guy told me, thus and so, and I went and did it. And I wash my thing, and now I can see. And I don't care what you say, and I don't care what you say about me. You can call me whatever you want to call me. But I'll tell you one thing, I was blind, and now I see. Ask anybody. They know me. And they didn't want to deal with that, just like people don't want to deal with things today. Things that are wrong. And everybody can know that. You have a conscience. Everyone knows, hey, what I did was wrong. Everyone knows. And if you harm me, I'd know that was wrong. If I harmed you, I'd have a story, but it doesn't matter because I want to get out of it. You know, I'm like little kids. So this next verse, we're almost done here. Wherefore, okay, for we are his workmanship, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that is, before there was a world, that we should walk in them. So now Jesus already knows, Raul, what you're going to do every day. And some of it's Christian and some of it's not. But he knows which ones are. Because he created them before the world because he wanted you to be just like him. And so you don't have to do it. He'll forgive it. But you could do it. And I say, hey, God, I want to know what works for me. What's my destiny? What's my purpose in life? Who am I? Should I just be a nobody? Should I just go along with the crowd? Or should I be somebody who's a heavenly person? Shouldn't you be a heaven on earth person? Shouldn't you? You can say yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to be that. I want to be everything God wants me to be. You can just say silly things. It doesn't matter. Because God doesn't want you to think you're in love with this world. You're not in love with this world. There is nothing here. It's going to fade away. It will not be here anymore. And you're about to see it. It may become in this generation. You may see it in this generation. So when you see it, you'll realize, oh, that's what Pastor said, the Bible said. So read it for yourself. Read it for yourself until you're convinced that this is the certain truth I need. I don't want security in this world. I want the certainty of this word. Sola fide. Sola gratia. Sola fide. I want to only have Jesus. Solus Christus. Soli Deo Gloria. To God be the glory. Woo! That's exciting. I don't know. Maybe you're not excited. I'm excited. I'm excited. I'm not excited because you get it. I'm excited because I got to say it. Whatever God said to me, I get to say it. You know, it's cool. Because you don't have to come. You can go anywhere you want. You can do whatever you want. But I wish all of Dallas were here. Because I know a lot of it's just people. It's just people trying their best to look like. No, not look like. Be. This is a being thing. I want you to be like me, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit said. Let us make man in our own image, according to our own likeness. Which God hath before ordained. Now, it's this. You can't change this ordination. That we should walk in them. That's chair 6. Wherefore, remember that you being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are now called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. This is talking about the Jewish people. He's going to make a distinction. Judaism is gone. Judaism doesn't exist anymore. You're either new creation or you're not a Jew. It isn't blood, that human blood. This is not that. This is something that you need to realize. That law is gone forever. We still use it because it guides us. If God says love your neighbor as yourself, do it. If God says love him with all his heart and soul, but do it by faith. But someday you'll see it. And someday you'll see it and be ashamed that you didn't get on to that right away. And you say, well, I lived a half life. I could have lived a full, gracious, awesome life. Because God created you to be a servant, a steward, a trustee of someone that uses all the gifts you have and all the talents you have and all the you know, everything that God gave to you, use it for others. You don't need it because God loves you just unconditionally. Why worry about yourself? Worry about someone else. Why? Because God already said, I love you. I'll never change. I'm never going to change. I'll always love you. I can't give one person more than another. I have to give everybody the same amount of love. We hated him without a cause because he always loved us. And anyone that goes to hell was loved by the God, and God still loves them, even to this day. But they just didn't do what he said to do. And you've got to pay attention to these words. He said, don't be an unbeliever. I'm warning you. Don't be an unbeliever. Be a believer that after you sin, I still love you. And I'll never change. Wow. I don't think that's preached today. I don't think it's preached. It's okay. that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens, in other words, you're aliens, from the commonwealth of Israel. In other words, Israel and Christians will be one. Israel, not everybody, but some, the believers. You'll be one with them. Did you know that? So you're an alien now to Israel. But he's making of two, one. And so now everybody in the world now can become a Christian. Everybody. There's not a person on earth, no matter how wicked you think they are and how mean they are and how nasty they are and so on. Don't even be bothered about that. Just look through the what you see, the cross, and see the crown on the other side. So there's the sun out there today. It's a little bit shining, but it's out there. But you don't have to see it every day to know it's out there. You have to see through in order to see God's gift. Strangers from the covenant, berit, B-E-R-I-T-H, of promise, having no hope without God in the world. Oh, that's the whole world's like that. Even Christians are like that. Even Christians are not Christian. And God won't defend that church or that individual because you're not his. He just wants those that believe that he's good. That'll keep his promise. I like to read the promise. Everything in here is a promise. Everything in the Bible is a promise. Now, you cannot do anything to make it not a promise. It is a promise. And God, the good work I began in you, Jesus said, I will surely complete without your help. I don't want your help. I don't want you to cooperate. I just want you to receive it and be blessed every day.
Amen.
Woo! That's too powerful. All right. Have I said enough? Yes. Praise God.